This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Good morning. I'm very glad to see you. My name is David, and with Alison, we're the pastors here, senior pastors here. And if you're a visitor, a guest, it's great to see you, and I'm really glad that you chose to spend this morning with us. If you're just passing through, you'll have to forgive me because I want to do some family business today. We're launching into an exciting month. The news sheets, which you'll have next week, will tell you about the fact that we've got some really interesting speakers coming. Next week is the guy who wrote this book. Our theme for the year is invitation, and Michael Harvey wrote a book called Unlocking the Growth, and another couple of books like that. He's coming to speak next week. He's excellent value. You'll enjoy him. The week after, we've got Steve Nicholson, who's the senior pastor of Evanston Vineyard and one of the grandees of the Vineyard movement going back right to the very beginning. That'll be a fantastic morning, and you're very welcome to come and hear from him and his wife, Cindy, then. And then in the third week, or the fourth week of the month, we've got Wes Johnston, who is the pastor of what used to be Leeds Reformed Baptist Church and is now Emmanuel Baptist Church up in Horsforth. He's a great teacher, and you'll love hearing from him. So we've got interesting Sundays lined up over the next month, but we've also got quite a lot of activity going on in the life of the church, not least the fact that we've just moved offices, which is why when Matt says phone to book for the welcome dinner tomorrow night, I wouldn't bother. The phones haven't quite been connected yet. Okay, call me or somebody you know and get us booked in that way, or signing up for the small groups. Again, you'll need to think of some other way of doing it apart from phoning just for the next few days. Traditionally, we put the words to the scripture words up on the screen behind me, and we're doing that again today. I'm doing quite a lot of bumping around scripture today. But in the coming weeks and months, we're going to stop doing that, and we're going to make lots of Bibles available to you so that you can read them in the written form. I'll explain why in the weeks to come. If you have a Bible, I would bring it with you. If you don't have a Bible, when we provide them, just take one away, pay as you feel if you want to buy one. But we're going to sort of focus on the book as opposed to the screen. I just want to show you a little video clip just to get us on theme. For our the theme for today is Prepare the Way, and it's about our month of prayer and fasting. And from this clip, you might get a hint of what I'm going to invite you to fast from. So, as I've talked to many people, I find that they get distracted by their smartphones and their digital media. Most of us use the stuff. Most of us use mobile phones and various forms of social media. And yet, a lot of people I talk to don't like it. They sort of like it, and they don't like it at the same time. They resent the way it impinges on our life and what it does to our relationships. But they're amazing, and they help us do incredible things. But they do have this capacity to distract. Yeah? Well, those of you who are just reading your email at the moment, are they distracting? I know you think that I'm thinking you're reading the Bible on your gadget, but I know. Alison and I have this competition. It's a phrase I picked up, I don't know where from, called digital diminuendo. Digital diminuendo. You know what it's like when you're in with somebody and you're in intimate conversation and then all of a sudden there's a ping, and there's that little flicker in the eyes. What was that? Shall I look? Shall I not look? At the dinner table. And the left hand starts to quiver, you know. And at that moment, there's a diminuendo in your relationship. Something disappears as that tension, shall I respond? Shall I look? And eventually, Alison gives up and looks. She's terrible at it. I always win the digital diminuendo competition. Believe that, if you will. But you know what I mean? You know that sense when you're talking to somebody and they're not quite there with you because they are on this media. My Samsung gadgets are fantastic and they help me organize my life and I do tons, but there's the social media that courses through those screens gets in the way of my relationship with Alison and with others and with God. It's a distraction. You know John the Baptist? Some of you know who I mean by John the Baptist. I don't mean do you know him personally. What I mean is, you know the story about John the Baptist. I don't think he would have been a great fan of smartphones, actually. I can't imagine him one clip to his skin, sort of wardrobe, whatever he was wearing. His life didn't seem to need a lot of social interaction. He didn't seem to be too worried about comfort or concerned whether he was liked by anybody. I just want to look at him a bit, because I think in him we get a hint of what God is calling us to do in Headingley and in Leeds. Let's look at Luke chapter 7. If you've got a Bible, then find Luke chapter 7. Luke is one of the four biographies. It's at the beginning of the New Testament, which is the right-hand side of your Bible. Find chapters. It's broken up into chapters, and each chapter is broken up into sentences, which are given numbers. Find chapter 7. Use the index if it's helpful, and put your finger in there. And then go left a bit to the last book of the Old Testament. Okay, in the New Testament goes Matthew, Mark, Luke. So go backwards from Luke to Mark to Matthew, then to Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. And put your finger in chapter 3. But we're going to read from Luke chapter 7 to start with, verses 24 to 27. The disciples have just been to, the disciples of John, this charismatic, strange character who attracted thousands of people to the Jordan River to be baptized. His disciples had come to Jesus, who was probably John's cousin. He was John's cousin, so they would have known each other. They'd have grown up together. And he said, their disciples came to check out Jesus, and they went back to John to tell him what they'd seen. And Jesus turned to the crowd, and he asked them three times, when you went out to see John, who did you go to see? He says, after John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Somebody whose opinions change with the fashion? Somebody who's easily manipulated by other people? So if not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. Did you go out to see somebody who looked good and who had a nice car and a big house? Somebody who was impressive and rich? What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare a way before you. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. This is speaking about Jesus, preparing the way for Jesus. This is God's words to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence here today. For Sarah and the band leading us in worship, for knowing the truth of who you are, and that we are committing our lives to you forever, singing forever. Thank you for everything you give us. Thank you for the opportunity to give to you through our regular giving that goes on week by week, month by month. We thank you. That's our offering of thanks and worship. And we just want to pray today. We just think about the doctors in the country, the junior doctors, and the things that are happening in that disagreement with the government and the impending strikes, and we just ask you to speak to the people involved and bring wisdom and peace and a higher way to behave than is going on at the moment. We ask you to protect the people of the country as we seek to as we go about getting our help from the NHS. This feels like something that's not right and not good, and we ask you to show us and the leaders how we can do this better. And we pray for your anointing on what I'm speaking about today. May it be seed that grows in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll come back to smartphones in a minute. Jesus said that John was the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. Okay, Malachi was an Old Testament prophet, and he made this declaration that the messenger would prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Now, as we were saying, John wasn't one of these, he wasn't fashion conscious, and he didn't care what you thought, and he was very, very focused on his mission, his kingdom mission, and everything else went to the side. The people to whom Malachi was speaking when he made this prophetic utterance were people who were waiting for Jesus to come, but they weren't focused on the mission like John was. And they were not behaving well. They were compromising in their lives and in their faith. They were believing half-truths, and they were envying the rich. The disadvantaged were being badly treated. They deprived aliens of justice, it says. Consumerism was rife. Their worship was half-hearted, and the teaching, rather than preparing the way, caused people to stumble. They sort of did want to come, the Lord to come, but they allowed themselves to be distracted. Now, does that sound at all familiar? Think about the way we treat refugees and asylum seekers and children in the jungle camp. Think about the way that we, I'm talking about us, are sucked into the politically correct beliefs of the day and find it hard to stand out in pursuing what's true. Think about the way worship on Sundays seems to be a sort of optional extra. If I feel like it today, I'll go. There's no decoration. This is central to who we are and who we believe in and who we follow, to declare to our community that we will worship together. I'm told that Leeds has the fourth largest square footage of shopping in the country. And because that's not quite enough, we're about to build the largest John Lewis in the country. What are we concerned about? What is the focus of our lives? So if you look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, Malachi thunders out this challenge. Or is it even a threat? He says, prepare the way. He says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come. That's the promise. He will come. But, the next sentence is really important. This isn't sweetness and light. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. Last week, if you were here, Liz spoke about justice. Yes, the Lord will come as a judge to bring justice. And that means he will judge. That means some things will be marked as wrong and some things as right. He comes to refine, to put things right, to bring justice. And what does that look like? When Jesus comes to bring justice, what does it look like? What's the result? There's a fantastic little glimpse of that in Malachi. If you turn to chapter 4, right, it's the last verse in the book. Verse 6 of chapter 4, he says, he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents or fathers. That's such a great need in our time, in our broken family time. And those of you who are involved in our child contact center, which Elaine over there runs, you get a glimpse of what he's talking about when you see the fathers, mainly the fathers, reconnecting with their children. That's a glimpse of the kingdom. That's what happens when Jesus comes. It's a wonderful thing to see. And if you're not involved and you'd like to be, talk to Elaine. See, the Lord is going to come. And he's going to come soon, Maranatha. And that will be a fearful and a wonderful day. And in the meantime, we are called to prepare the way for Jesus to come. So let's think about preparing the way, because this isn't about sorting out all the rubbish out there. This is about us. This is about preparing our hearts. This is about sorting out the damage that we have done and are doing. It's preparing the way in us. It's a challenge to how we behave as followers of Jesus. Are we believing the truth and having our lives guided by Scripture? Are his priorities our priorities? Are we avoiding a consumptive lifestyle and instead being generous in our giving? Are we staying faithful to him, to each other? Is our worship true and ardent and sacrificial? Is our walk with Jesus continually compromised by distractions, sir? We need to prepare ourselves, prepare the church. So this month, our theme for our prayer and our fasting, which is something we do regularly, is prepare the way. Normally we just do this for a week, we're going to do this for a month this time. You're invited to join in, this is not mandatory. We don't make you sign anything. This is just what we're going to do as a community, and you're welcome to join in as much as you or as little as you like. Alison, my gorgeous helper, will distribute our little brochures about this month of prayer and fasting. I think we've got enough for the room. And I'm just going to walk through the contents of this leaflet that's coming out. But if you want to read about fasting, if you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, then go to our website, bottom right-hand side in the search engine, type in fast, and it'll bring up a whole series of articles and information and ideas, different ways to pray, different ways to fast, why we do it. Normally, I invite you to fast whatever you feel the Lord prompts you to fast, food or your gadgets or the way you where you sleep. One of our young people once for their week of prayer and fasting, they slept on the floor rather than the bed for the week, which I thought was novel. But this time round, I'm going to specifically invite you to fast your phone. Now, some of you don't use mobile phones. You have to think of something else to fast, okay? But for those of you who do, fast your phone. And at the back of this booklet, you'll find 12 suggestions about ways you can fast your phone. And I'm going to be very, very interested to see what happens and what stories you tell us about what you've tried to do and how it's affected your life. So that's the fasting theme. What are we going to do to join in together in prayer? Well, the brochure, which I shouldn't really give out because now you're all reading that and not listening to me, but so be it. The first thing is, if you don't already do this, allocate, see if you can find 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day to reflect on the stuff that's in here and to pray it through and to ask God to speak to you without your phone. 10 minutes a day. That's the first part of the prayer thing. The second part is a very small group to keep in the loop. A very small group. We talked about launching the new small groups, but I'd like you just for this month to form a very small group. Okay? You may already be in one, a twosome or a threesome, or maybe four of you together. At maximum four. It doesn't really work with more than that. And I'd like you to connect with each other over the month. And irony of ironies, maybe use WhatsApp or some other form of digital media to communicate with each other, however you want, just to keep in touch. You may want to meet, you may just want to talk on the phone, you may want to text, whatever it is, to share with each other what's happening as you pray through this sequence, to hold each other accountable, to be able to confess your sins to one another, to be able to share prophetic stuff with them. So try and find somebody. If you don't know who to go to, if you're new to the church, talk to one of the small group leaders, they'll connect you up. Number three, the power is there in the engine room prayer. When the ship is sailing and its direction is set, the only reason it goes anywhere is because of the engine room. That's where the power comes from. And the prayer is similar. So when we get together and we pray together, that's where the power comes to set and go in a certain direction. So we're setting a couple of special times, engine room we're going to call it, on this coming Tuesday evening, and then 3 weeks tonight. 25th, is that? I think it's 25th. 3 weeks this evening. Here in this room, we'll be worshiping, we'll be praying together, and we'll be seeking God's face for Headingley and for what he's called us to do as we prepare the way. And then finally, if we can make it happen, in our new offices, literally a stone throw over there, we're going to try and open it at 7:30 every morning. So whether it's just for 10 minutes or for an hour, you can join us and we will reflect on these things and pray together. Just keep an eye on the website for that because we may not be able to do it every single day. By disconnecting our phones and our social media, there's a chance we may connect a little bit more with each other and with God. And very, very helpfully, Dolmio put a video together. It's called a Pepper Hacker, And it's the other manufacturers and retailers of kitchen produce and products are available, but they've done this video for us, and I think you'll find it very helpful. Have I just knocked that? I think I have. Have I knocked it? I think our technology won't work, will it? No, sorry. New computers are on the way. I'll tell you what it says. I won't act it out for you, but I'll tell you what it says. It's got a... They've invented this new pepper grinder, okay? And inside it, there's a special machine. So when you twist it, it turns off all gadgets. It disconnects from the internet and turns everything off. And it's got great scenes of children thinking the world's coming to the end and dads trying to figure out how to do things. But the result is, after lots of arguments and fights, they're all sitting around dinner tables, happily sharing and laughing. And when the Dolmio says, when you disconnect, families connect. It's very good. Have a look at it on YouTube and enjoy it a bit later. And you, at this point, you're meant to all be laughing because you'll have seen the end of it. So, as we work with this particular fasting challenge, I want to address some four preparing the way issues. I think that there's something happening at Leeds Vineyard in Headingley, and I'm really glad this time of prayer has come about, because I think the Lord's going to speak to us very specifically about his plans for us. And so as you enter into this, just be open to God saying all sorts of interesting things, because I think something's going to happen in the next few months. The first thing I'd like you to do in the first week, the theme is removing distractions. The most difficult verse in the Bible for me has always been Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know. Be still. Now, some of you are good at being still. You're cool. You're chilled out type of people. I find being still is just the hardest thing. But God says, be still and know that I am God. And if you were trying to design a place where you would be able to hear God clearly and sort of hear his voice and sort of connect with him a bit better, you wouldn't fill it all with pinging gadgets and TV and hobbies and videos, would you? And music. You would create a bit of a space. I think they call it a monastery. Or just a quiet place, wouldn't you? A little time in the day when you got rid of your phones and everything else. Not because, this isn't a promise that if you turn your phone off, God will speak. And all of a sudden, everything will become clear. But if you're trying to get into a place where you hear God speak, getting rid of the gadgets is quite a good step, isn't it? So to be still and know, part of being still for me is to turn things off and get away. And also to do things for me is in a disciplined way, because I work better if I'm in a formula. That's for me personally. I'm going to give you the passage of 1 Kings 19 to reflect on during this week, and I'd like you to read it several times over the course of the week and just ask the Lord to speak to you about this issue. What is distracting me? What is distracting me? Now, 1 Kings 19 is the story of Elijah, who's just had this incredible God encounter, supernatural events, and now he's been persecuted and he's run off into the desert and he's depressed. And he's in the cave, and God speaks to him. And it says this. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. So try and remove distractions and get in a quiet place for 10 minutes a day to hear God speak to you. And ask him to point out the distractions in your life that get in the way of hearing him more clearly. And they'll be different for different ones of us. The second week, we'll turn our attention to ourselves in the sense of preparing ourselves, our attitudes, our hearts, our minds. The people Malachi was prophesying to weren't doing very well, and frankly, I don't think we're doing very well either, most of us. So as we listen to God, we ask him not only to point out the distractions, but also to reveal those things in our life that separate us from him and his blessings. the things in our hearts and our feelings. And our passage for that week, is Psalm 139, which I'd love you to reflect on, and about how God knows us and has plans for us and has always known us. But it ends with these two crucial verses, which I'd like you to reflect on. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we prepare ourselves and we repent, and perhaps with our very small group, we can say, this is the thing I'm struggling with, and I want you to know that I'm repenting of it, and I'm going to do better, and pray for me. Number three, third week, we're going to prepare our lives in the sense of looking at our priorities. So if you're not, I spend Friday afternoons often up at White's Cafe around the corner. Other cafes are available. And if you were to sit down with me over a Moroccan mint tea, and you opened your bank statement and your budget, and you opened your diary, I could tell in about 2 minutes what the priorities in your life were. And if you were an Olympic athlete going for gold, your budget would be full of nutrient supplements of appropriate kind and trips to training camps, and your time would be taken up with fitness and investment in your healthy thinking and healthy body. Tom Sine, in the latest issue of Christianity magazine, has a great quote, and he says this: the call to follow Jesus is not a call to give our lives to the Western dream. The call to follow Jesus is not a call to give our life to the Western dream with a little devotional add-on. It is not found in seeking life, but in giving our lives away. You could tell that from the Olympic athlete. They give away their lives for another goal. We're doing it differently. Jesus says what? That our primary goal should be the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6 is our passage for that week, week 3. And it's all about the trajectory of your life, you know, the eyes of the soul and all that. It's all about which way are you pointing? What are the priorities? What are you thinking about? What are you worried about? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, he says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." It's about our priorities. And as we pray and fast together, ask God to speak to you about your priorities, the passage, the trajectory of your life. And ask him to show you which ones are not his and which ones are. May he pour his blessing on those that are his priorities, and may he enable you to drop those ones which are not his priorities. The final week we're going to spend on thinking about the church as a community and preparing the church ready to trust and obey and do what we've been called to do. It's interesting, when Jesus speaks about the role of the church, he often uses military language. And he talks about army and things. And in one particular passage, which is our passage for that week, in Matthew 16, it's all this thing about the identification of who he is and how he establishes the church. And he says at this point in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." The picture is of a fortress, of something strong that he's building that will withstand the attack of the enemy. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." As I talk about the way the world is twisting the way we think and bringing us towards consumerism and different ways of belief and ethics, that will bounce against the walls of the church he's going to build, and it'll be strong. That's God's promise. He's going to build a fortress. He's going to build something that can withstand the attack of the enemy. So, if that's us, if that's what he's building us into, what are we called to do? What sacrifices will we gladly make as a community in order to see his kingdom come? What risks are we going to take so that we can see God do amazing things as he builds his church? That's what I want you to pray into in the week 4 and share with your very small group. Removing distractions so we can hear and see what the Lord's doing. Preparing ourselves, our attitudes, our hearts, our minds. Preparing our lives, our priorities, setting the trajectory of our life. Preparing this church as a community of faith, ready to trust and obey whatever challenges he sets before us. And then in a month's time, on the 2nd of October, we'll gather back together here and we'll turn the mic over and we'll see what he's been saying. And you might want to email me in the meantime if you feel God speaks to you for us, and we'll collate what the Lord has revealed to us over that time, and what he's been doing in you, maybe just a personal thing about the fast and what he's doing in you, or maybe something for the church. And we'll gather it all back together in a month's time. I think that'll be a very exciting Sunday. I think there'll be some interesting things to talk about then. The Lord has great things to do in Headingley and Leeds, and he is coming. The Lord is coming, and he will refine, and he will revive. We're going to see renewal in the churches, and we're going to see revival on the streets. This is his plan, and he's given us a job, along with others, of preparing the way for this, for something big. I'm hearing this again and again around Leeds. There's something on the way. There's something coming. Something that will make a long-term and widespread impact on Headingley and in Leeds. Something that will cost us time and energy and money, but something where we will see the kingdom come. We'll be able to talk about fathers and parents and children having their hearts turned to each other, about the hungry fed and the sick healed, and the young given a purpose in life, and the addicted set free. So I want you to help us. Let us prepare the way for the Lord to come. Amen. Okay, let's stand. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. If you're new here, we just believe God comes as his Holy Spirit. He's been here all morning, but we just give him extra space now to come and speak to us, to fill us, to challenge us, to take the words of the worship, the words of the talk, and to speak into our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you come? Come, Holy Spirit. Let him come. Let him come. Sometimes it's easier to for his presence to come, not just when we're quiet, but when our bodies are in a posture, you know, of receiving. Our hands are open, our eyes are shut, and we're waiting for him to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. That's it. Let him come. More, Lord, more of your Spirit. More. More, that's it. Bless what you're doing. If you were standing where I'm standing, you could see that the Lord is engaging with many of you. And I bless what he's saying. I bless the repentance that's going on and the taking up of the challenge to prepare. Some of you are seeking him for difficult things in your lives, and I bless those prayers. That's it, more. Let him come. Thank you for what you're doing. Some of you, I sense, are being called to be rescuers. It was just when the ambulance went past, I felt God say, some of these people are my ambulance drivers. So we want to pray for that. We want to bless you if that's you. And I also sense the Lord saying that some of you are very hungry. You're hungry for God. It's like a physical hunger. You need to hear him more, and you need to feed on it. You know that you need this. And he's saying he will feed you. He hears your cry, and he will feed you. Come to the table. We're way over time, but I just sense we should wait. Let's just continue to wait. Let him come. Bless what you're doing. If you're one of those who thinks you might be an ambulance driver, a rescuer, that's something God's put in your heart, either right now or something a long time ago, and it's just reminding you of it. And he wants to would you just raise your hand wherever you are? We'd love to pray for you, if that's you. Up high, that's great. Okay, if you're a regular here, go and find somebody who's got their hand up. Keep your hands up until there's some people around you. And bless, it's a new spiritual gift, the gift of rescuing. Okay, bless what God is doing. He's calling on their lives. Bless that. Ask the Lord to double it up and find a release for it in their lives and ministry. Keep your hands up in the air until we've got people around you. Bob and Kay, can you reach out to Colin? You're busy. Is everybody covered? Okay, you pray for them. If you don't know who they are, just ask their name and then just bless them. If you want to respond to anything else today, you've come today with some part of your body hurts, or you're ill, or there's a relationship breakdown, or you've got a financial issue, or anything that you would like us to pray for, please don't leave. This is what church is about, is being prayed for. Why would you not? Come to the front here. I'll find somebody really pleasant and nice to come and pray for you and bless you. But that's about as formal an ending as we're going to get. Please go and get your children, and then come back if you would like prayer then. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Have a great week and enjoy your fast.